chickens in the houses, they got chickens in the trees, chicken in the pots, the Mardawog, the Petaloomies, out in Petaluma, spending my days. Oh, I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Tell me, how many eggs will a chicken lay? Now Marvin got me started, sold me my first hen. Now I got 4 and 20, and 24 more again. I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Oh, I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Tell me, how many eggs will a chicken lay? Chicken in the morning, it's chicken in the night. Weren't for chicken, Petaluma never would have reached its height. I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Oh, I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Tell me, how many eggs will a chicken lay?
It's Mouthful. Smart talk about food, wine, and farming. It's Michelle Anna Jordan live in the studio. We were preempted last week by some political thing that was going on. It's been a crazy week. What was it? Yeah, some big fight. Something we were probably all watching. Do y'all play drinking games when you watch the debate?
That's a lot of alcohol late in the season.
I saw the Saturday Night Live from last night.
Hilarious.
Where they started it with, you know, they did their shot. I laughed out loud all by myself. We've got a lot on the agenda tonight. We have two really great guests returning. I don't know for how many times, but we have B.R. Cohn with lots of their non-alcohol products here in the studio. And we also have 3 or 4 wines from St. Francis, Christopher Silva, coming back and joining us after not that much time. But first, we also have you. And if you've been listening to KRCB like you typically do, you know that we are in a membership drive. We've got a week of, I think it's just a week, I think it's a short one, and we are encouraging people who listen to each of our shows, especially our locally produced shows, but any of the programs here on KRCB that you like, pony up a little cash so we can keep it all going. You know, there's no advertising, and you know, you gotta love that, and there's a lot of local programmers. During Mouthful, the best way to do it is to just go to krcb.org and click on donate. There are lots of thank you gifts. And we have something special that we haven't done before. For $20, you can get a special bonus pack of CDs. It's 5 CDs generously donated by the Last Record Store, all different kinds of genres, all different kinds of fun. So that's just $20. So if you're already a member, pony up 20 extra bucks and you get all these CDs. At $40, there's the choice of a top shelf CD, a KRCB mug, a t-shirt. There is also a KRCB logo Bluetooth speaker at the $60 level. And I'm just going to keep it, I'm going to keep a lot of things at the $60 level. I have a number of books that have been from guests here on Mouthful. One of them, Julia Child. Yes, I actually interviewed Julia Child here, and we've run it a couple of times and had her dear friend Jacques Pepin several times in the studio. So the book is Deary, The Remarkable Life of Julia Child by Bob Spitz, and also a book that I reference fairly frequently because it's such a brilliant book, Something from the Oven, Reinventing Dinner in 1950s America by Laura Shapiro. She's the author of the really pivotal book, Perfection Salad, which explores the domestic science movement at the turn of the 19th century and the truly profound impact that the domestic scientists had, not just on cooking in America throughout the 20th century, but really on our palates today. And that's something that I've written about, and I just posted one of the essays that I wrote about her impact on my new website, MichelleAnnaJordan.com. You'll find, it's not a lot, but there's an essay called Why I Don't Call Myself a Foodie. And I bring Laura Shapiro's brilliant work into that. Anyway, any one of these books, yours, $60 level. Before I get to our guest, just one other book, Vinaigrettes and Other Dressings. Have you heard of that before? That came out in April of 2013 or 2014, I forget which now. I think it was my 19th book. I have three copies here in the studio, and one of them can be yours. So, krcb.org, fill out the form while you're listening to Mouthful, and all is good.
How was it to interview Julia Child?
You know, she's one of the easiest interviewees in the world. Absolutely. No question.
Just kept talking?
She engages. She listens. She is not, she doesn't have a self-promotional agenda. She was funny as hell. Mm-hmm. I mean, she just had everybody cracking up.
Yeah.
So she and Jacques Pepin, Eric Ripert, who's on TV tonight with Anthony Bourdain. He was somebody else, really a very generous, warm interview. So yeah, she's just great.
Wow.
So, I didn't know her well, but I knew her well enough that if I ran into her, she recognized me. I had a few meals with her. Mm-hmm. And she's just so sweet.
Oh, what great memories.
Yeah.
Wow.
Really, really a very sweet woman. So the first thing I want to mention is Biarcon Winery and Biarcon Olive Oil and Vinegar Company, now it's called, right?
Olive Oil Company,
Olive Oil Company. You are reviving something that was so much fun in the 90s.
Yes, we're bringing back the Sonoma Extra Virgin Festival, celebrating local olive oils produced. When we produced an olive oil from our Pichelin trees back in 1990, that was the first estate olive oil produced in Northern California in the 1900s. That was the beginning of the Olive Oil Company. Today we produce 8 different olive oils, about 8 or 9 different wine vinegars, and a handful of balsamic vinegars as well. We also have a couple of wine sauces, dessert sauces that we promote, and they're delicious. And we hope that people will come and taste not only our products, but the products of a number of other producers. We have about 14 joining us for the festival on Saturday, November 5th and Sunday, November 6th.
Mm-hmm. And I will be there.
Yes, you will. With your books.
I will have a table there, and I'm doing some sort of presentation. I'll have some sort of taste from I'll feature primarily my book, The Good Cook's Book of Oil and Vinegar, that came out like a month before Biarcon changed everything, rendering everything I said about California olive oil immediately irrelevant. So I have updated that in the new edition. I'll be focusing on that. We'll have a couple other books because, like, vinaigrettes and other dressings certainly has a lot to do with oil and vinegar, and a couple of my other books do as well. And then a lot of other people. And it's going to be, is it on Olive Hill? Olive Hill is right there.
It's going to be behind the main tasting room with a view of the backside of the property, which is beautiful, the rolling hills, the vineyards. We have a total of about 55 planted acres, so the best view is really from the back of the property. It's going to be in our barn.
Okay.
And so we'll have you, we'll have some cooking demonstrations, we'll have some educators from UC Davis Olive Center talking about the health benefits of olive, as well as some curing demonstrations, a hand harvest demonstration.
Don Landis.
Olive Don will be there. Yes, that's right. And because our trees were planted, we think, in the mid-1800s, they're quite large and quite tall, there will be a demonstration of hand harvest. They can't be machine harvest. They're not, sort of planted in orchards. Mm-hmm. And that'll be a lot of fun. We'll also have music and food trucks. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was such a nice festival, and it was such a heady time, and everybody is just discovering what California can do. So right. I was really happy when I learned you guys were bringing this back. I'm really looking forward to it. Also with us, Christopher Silva, and we missed, for a couple of reasons, you were traveling and I got sick, we missed 30 Days of Cabernet. We were going to originally do a tasting.
September then was our 30 Days of Cabernet, but we brought some Cabernet Sauvignon with us anyway to, we'll just close our eyes and pretend, right?
Yes, there we go. And you can drink Cabernet anytime. I have to say that the initial thing that made me think about having B.R. Cohn on at the same time is B.R. Cohn's Olive Hill Cabernet.
Very nice.
Next time. It's
always
delicious.
Always been one of my favorite Cabernets in the county. And after you were here last, I did look. And I do have St. Francis King Ridge.
Good. We haven't made that in a number of years.
I know. That's, I think I have two bottles.
Well, probably a 96, 97-ish?
Something, right around there.
Wow.
Time to open it.
It probably is.
Yeah. Right about time. We have to wait until I have the appropriate dinner.
Well, you just hit on something. Sonoma is, we were just talking about Olive Hill and other places. Sonoma is such an incredible place for Cabernet Sauvignon. Mm-hmm. People think of Napa for Cab historically because Napa has done such wonderful Cabs, and Cabernet needs the most hang time, the most time on the vine. We always pick our Cabernet Sauvignon grapes last compared to all the other grapes. So people think Napa farther inland. Sonoma has a coast and an ocean. You think Merlot or Zinfandel or Sauvignon Blanc, etc. for Sonoma County. But if you plant on all these unique appellations and microclimates within Sonoma, you've got that combination of hot or dry or arid or windy, and Cab is so well suited for the terroir, the so many varieties of microclimate presented by Sonoma. That's the little secret about Sonoma. Mm-hmm. We turn out some amazing world-class Cabs.
Yes, I've always thought that about Sonoma Valley. I've always thought that was the one grape that really sort of sparkled about. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's lots of wonderful things here and there, but it seems to me that it's Cabernet that is just consistently beautiful from Sonoma Valley.
And if I may contribute something, one of the things that you probably like about the Olive Hill is that fruit ripeness, and one of the specific microclimate specialties of that vineyard is the fact that it's situated over a hot spring.
Oh.
And so that really changes what's happening there. It doesn't tend to get fogged there, and the hang time isn't much longer. It buds earlier and, grows throughout the season. And as you mentioned, Chris, we're picking it at the end of the season.
Yeah.
But that microclimate, is special because of the hot spring that particular vineyard is situated on.
I didn't know about that. And I've always thought, too, the texture is, it has such a wonderful texture. It's got very soft, very soft tannins, not rough tannins. And that's always something I'm looking for in a wine.
Likewise, you want it to be an enjoyable, approachable experience.
You don't want to have your palate scoured.
No. Definitely not.
And I remember a number of years ago when I was still judging, I've fallen off the judges list and I keep my head down so they don't put me back on, judging for the Harvest Fair, and I got put on the, several years running, I got put on the higher priced Merlots. And at the time, there just seemed to be this obligation to make them as big as they possibly could. I swear, by the end of, 7 hours of tasting $30 Merlots, you just feel like somebody's taken a Brillo pad to your tongue. So
it's funny you mentioned that Merlot. We talk about this internally at the winery when we're doing our blind tastings. Of the five Bordeaux red varietal grapes, which, as you know, are Cabernet Sauvignon, Merlot, Cabernet Franc, Petit Verdot, and Malbec, Merlot is traditionally the most structured, the most tannic. So unless it's toned down a little in the cellar and given some oxygen and given some barrel time and given the right oak, you're going to have a big wine.
Yeah. Yeah. And there seemed to be this requirement for a number of years that pricey Merlots be really huge. That seems to have tapered off some, at least in my experience. Anyway, what should we taste first?
Well, you were both talking about good Cab.
Okay.
And this is our, let me just get this open for us.
Ah.
Oh, what a sound.
Yes. Let's see, where is my, my glass is right there.
So this is our Lago Marsino Estate Cabernet Sauvignon.
Yes, that was a long pour.
And it whoops, wait a minute.
No, thank you.
This is the 2013, this is our single vineyard estate in the Russian River Valley. And again, people don't think of Russian River Valley for Cab. They think maybe Pinot Noir, maybe Chardonnay. And we have, at the bottom of this vineyard, 44 acres below the fog line, cool, damp, slow-ripening Chardonnay vines. But right above it, toward the top of the hill, is where we have our Lago Marsino Estate Cab. We only did a few hundred cases of this. It gets about 20 months in French oak barrels. Let's just take a whiff, and if you would.
Where is the vineyard?
It's our Lago Marsino Estate Vineyard, right in the Russian River Valley,
but
off of off of 101, right around the corner from our. Why am I just blanking out? It's on Los Amigos Road,
oh,
right
Los
off
Amigos.
Of 101.
Okay.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So if let's say when we taste the wine with our winemakers, we go through four things: ANTF, appearance, nose, taste, and finish. How would you describe the color of the cab, ladies?
Deep.
Yes.
Deep violet. Deep purple.
Deep purple, almost inky. I always say when I put what's that?
I was going to say almost inky, but like a very big garnet.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Well said. Well said. Now, how about on the nose? What is it? What do the aromas remind you of? I get some black cherry.
Brambles.
Brambles, definitely.
Dried brambles. A little bit of licorice, but
a little toasty cedar, hint of cedar.
Yeah. And I'm not sure how good I am at this tonight just because I still have my cold.
That's okay.
So there's a little bit of...
you're still allowed to enjoy it.
I can enjoy it, but I can't necessarily pick apart the
aromas.
Now,
let's take a taste. Again, the St. Francis Lago Marsino Estate Cab. Let's take a sip, the best part.
Delicious.
You might think I'm crazy, but I notice fig.
You get a little hint of fig on there?
Yes.
That little bit of...
There's some ripe fig.
It's some ripe fig that almost, not stewed, but that ripeness and intensity to it. This cab, we focus so much on mouthfeel, and we'll be doing pump overs from barrel to barrel. Our winemaker, Chris Luton, joined us 3 years ago. Our Bordeaux winemaker from Beringer, where he was one of the people in charge of their luxury cab program. Mm-hmm. And this little gem just got 95 points from Robert Parker. I don't mention scores unless it's a crazy high score.
Congratulations.
Thank you. We'll take it.
There's some milk chocolate, cocoa, really.
I get some cocoa as well.
It is delicious. Yeah.
Thank you.
Cocoa.
Cheers.
Definitely
cheers.
Cocoa.
Congratulations.
It is very nice. What would you like to eat with this?
I'm going to go cliche on you, and I would love this with a New York strip.
Mm-hmm.
If I had a prime rib with maybe that just hint of gaminess, I might do a Merlot. Because I think the Merlot might be better suited. If I had pepper steak, I might serve a Zinfandel. But I think a nice, full-bodied, structure yet nicely integrated cab goes beautifully with beef, and particularly a nice grilled steak.
I think it goes really well with beef, really well with venison.
Oh, yes.
And with the right condiment or sauce, it goes very well with halibut.
Yeah, right, exactly.
I can see this with lamb. A lamb roast or lamb chop. Nice. Yeah,
What sauce? Like a tapenade or something on the halibut? Or
yes,
would you do?
I typically do, and I did this, it was my first pairing column ever, a black olive tapenade butter. Mm. So I grilled the halibut and then just put a coin of the halibut butter on it, and it was perfect with a cab.
Really? Wow.
Michelle, you've talked about this before. People aren't afraid to pair white with other things or red wine with fish because it's how you prepare it. It's the sauce, it's the topping, it's the condiments, makes all the difference. Those rules we can break them now if depending on how the food is prepared.
Exactly. And how how it's grown. I mean, grass-fed meats take to different wines than corn-fed meat.
Mm-hmm.
You really need very different considerations. Mm-hmm. The fat from a corn-fed animal is very different than the fat from a grass-fed animal. Mm-hmm. And so I've just noticed plus grass-fed meat has gotten much better over the last 10 to 15 years, that it's just a whole different paradigm when it comes to pairing.
I was in Dallas on Friday night at Farm Aid. We did the wine for Farm Aid, and he had grass-fed guinea. And we served our cab with the guinea, and I thought, this is going to work. It worked perfectly.
How was the guinea prepared?
It was grilled? On a big open I think he did do charcoal and it was very nice.
Guinea's a hard one to prepare properly.
I hadn't had guinea in years.
Yeah, I've cooked it just a couple of times and I have not been happy with. I mean, I need to know more about it.
Two people asked me today, "How's your thumb?" What's the story on the thumb?
My thumb. I was just, you know, I've been sick. I've had this virus that has been lasting, which means I have no in it.
You look good.
Well, thank you. And that's what matters, isn't it?
Yeah. Who cares how you feel as long as you look good, right?
As long as you look good. And so I just haven't had my usual energy. And instead of cleaning off my cutting board, one of many cutting boards, I was making a lamb's tongue salad because I just gotten this fabulous lamb's tongue from Victoria.
That's one of your favorite things, isn't it? The lamb's tongue salad. You've talked about that, yeah.
Yeah, and I was mincing some fresh Italian parsley, and the knife flipped, and it landed on my thumbnail, and it cut out. It did it cut a square out of it, but only detached it in two places. You know, so it was like
could the neighbors hear this happening?
I don't have any close neighbors.
Okay.
And I think I was alone. The dogs looked at me. But, you know, and we have a lot of nerve endings in our fingers.
Oh, yeah.
And so it bled a lot. But
you're all right now?
I'm okay.
Okay.
I didn't go to the hospital. Really, really didn't want to go to the, did not want to go to the ER.
For three hours or whatever.
Yeah. And, you know, when you're sick and you have to sit there in that horrible light, I thought, nah, I'm going to be okay. And so I put some Band-Aids on it, and then I got those little teeny tiny things that you put over your fingers.
Right.
If you work in a restaurant and you can't get one of your digits wet.
Mm-hmm.
So I have one of those, so I can take a shower, I can clean the kitchen, I'm fine now. It's, you know, in another week, I'll probably have a scar, and that'll be it.
And you have a story for that.
And I'm amazed people know. I mean, I guess people read my Facebook page, don't they?
Yeah. I'm glad you're on the road to recovery.
Thank you. Okay, so now we've tasted this one cabin. Was this 2013, did you say?
This was the 2013. And, you know, the funny thing is we had such a wonderful harvest 2013. And I remember when I first started in the wine industry in 1998, 18 years ago, we had the 97 vintage was underway, and we were putting those wines together, and we had this fantastic 97 vintage. Then came 98, and everybody got gun-shy because it was not this terrific vintage. And then things were spotty, some good, some not so good. We had 2011, what was challenging. Then came 12, which was a wonderful vintage. Then came 13, which was arguably even better. 14 was terrific. 15, even though we had very small quantities and low production, the fruit is wonderful. And 16, we brought in all our fruit this past week, so we're done early with harvest. The quality looks good as well. How lucky are we to get about 4 or 5 really good consecutive harvests in Northern California? So we must be on, all of us, some kind of a winning streak.
Yes.
We'll take it. Knock on wood.
Yes, so drought isn't bad for everything. Let's shift over to BR Cohn here, because you have, this is your Picheline oil.
Yes, we have about 470 trees on the property that were planted in the mid-1800s. Mm-hmm. They're a French olive varietal called Picheline. And when this olive oil was first bottled in 1990, as I mentioned earlier, it was the first estate bottling in Northern California in the 1900s. Like an old grapevine, these old trees create a very buttery, round, ripe fruit, and the olive oil tastes just like that. It's very smooth, it's very round, it's very buttery, and I'd love to contrast that today with a different one, which is a greener, grassier type of a Tuscan varietal, Italian varietal olives.
By the way, I know you're a pro because you're holding the bottle, presenting it elegantly, even though we're on radio.
even though we're on radio.
And she's doing it in such a way that you can see
even
black and orange fingernails.
Well, these were my Giants fingers.
Oh.
Okay.
And so every October they look great, and now they're going
black
into
black and orange. Nice.
Now they're going into Halloween.
So we're starting with the dark one?
No, we're
starting with the Picheline.
Oh, the Picheline.
Picheline oil. Let me get this
out of your way.
And really soak that bread in it, and so you can taste how buttery that is. Yeah, Michelle's the pro here. She's just drinking it straight.
Oh, that's delicious.
Isn't that delicious?
Is there a vintage on this?
Yes, this is the 2015 vintage.
Oh, okay, great.
So, yes, oils, again, just like grapes, have vintages. And at our festival, we will be probably harvesting the first trees. The harvest for olives follows the harvest for grapes. It's gotten a little rainy now. So, you know, generally it happens in November. So we expect
Last year, I don't know about you guys, but I know a lot of it in Healdsburg, it was really early last year.
Yes.
It was in pretty early October, if I remember correctly.
Yes. And I'd love for you to contrast that with this Tuscan. Now, this is a blend we make from Italian varietals grown here in California. And I really want to stress the California quality because the founder of the winery and of this olive oil company, Bruce Cohn, was one among a handful of people who established criteria and...
Let me guess, he wasn't shy with his thoughts, was he?
No, he wasn't, but it's very important for people to understand that you when you buy a California olive oil that's extra virgin, you're getting the real thing.
Yes.
There has been a lot of attention. Mm. Isn't that great?
Mm. And
you see how different that is? Mm-hmm. It's literally greener, and mm-hmm. it tastes greener. It's a much stronger flavor profile.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember it was, let's say, Bruce Cohn, Lila Yeager, from Rutherford Estates.
Uh-huh.
Ridgely Evers got involved really early.
Mm-hmm.
The Shabikas were involved.
Shabikas from, Central Valley, correct.
And then a couple of other people, they were involved and formed the California Olive Oil Council.
Correct. And establishing those principles. Those guidelines. So that today, you know when you're buying one of our olive oils, one of
Delicious.
The olive oils produced in California, you're getting what it says on the label. There's been a lot of attention paid to the fact that many of the olive oils coming out of the Mediterranean region are cut with all kinds of things,
yes.
and they're not 100% olive mm-hmm. oil. So I just wanted to
emphasize that's happening. You know, it seems like every few months we see another article about
right.
the scandal. And that's one of the benefits of living not just in California, but in this part of California.
Can you buy that at Taste Room only, or can you get it elsewhere?
So we are distributed, yes, we're purchased, and you can purchase in the Taste Room or online, but we are distributed in some of the smaller shops. I mean, in Sonoma Valley, you can get us at Glen Ellen Market,
nice.
Sonoma Valley Market. You can get us at
Oliver's.
Yes,
yeah.
definitely
yeah.
see you at Oliver's on
yes.
this side of the mountain.
Yes, yeah, so here and there.
It's
but
delicious.
You can always go online or swing by the winery if you'd like to have something.
And then tell us about the vinegars, too, because I think... Biarcon's vinegars are among the best in the state and the best in the world, I think.
Well, thank you. I specifically brought a raspberry champagne that won a double gold at the Sonoma Harvest Festival fair this year. And we make about 8 different wine vinegars. There's a Syrah, there's a Cabernet.
The Cabernet is exquisite.
There's a Champagne. Yes, I understand that's one of your favorites.
Yes, that is my favorite.
I brought this particular one because it got so many accolades.
The double gold.
And so we do a variety, and they're all fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
They're a lot of fun to blend with one of our olive oils and just, you know, a great olive oil and a wonderfully flavored vinegar, you're done as far as a dressing goes. I mean, in my opinion, but I'm sure you can add to that, Michelle.
Well, actually, I think that, I mean, the classic salad, you know, the salad you eat before dinner, you have some greens. You sprinkle salt on them. You put on some good,
yes, please.
You put on some olive oil, and then you put on a bit of acid,
mm-hmm.
either lemon or a vinegar, and that's it. That's the daily salad, and it's really my favorite salad. You can do all kinds of other things, and I certainly do, but for that, eating a green salad every day couldn't be easier.
Would you like this with olive oil or on its own? You're the pro.
The flavor just pops. It just pops with flavor. That's delicious.
Isn't that delicious? Mm. Yes.
Yes, you really keep the true raspberry flavor.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I can smell it from here. Isn't
Absolutely.
That fantastic? And then we import balsamics, and we do infusions with them. And so I wanted to bring one of my personal favorites. So I have the Pichuline and the fig balsamic at home at all times, and this is the fig balsamic. Absolutely delicious as well.
Fig balsamic. And you were just
talking
balsamic.
About
fig.
When we were talking about figs.
And that's the fruit is macerated with the vinegar.
Mm-hmm.
So there are two approaches. You can infuse it with flavors.
It comes right through. That's so,
yeah.
It has like a richness.
Isn't that delicious?
And
or you can macerate.
Decadent. That's so nice.
Yeah, it is. It's fantastic.
Mm. See, now what I think, this is what I have to say. I'm not the biggest fan of balsamic right now, but that's because it's been overused
yes.
in the wrong context.
Yes.
I don't want a lot of sweet things on my savory plates. Mm-hmm. You know, I just don't. But put some of this onto sliced strawberries, put them in the oven for 10 minutes, and then eat it like that, or spoon it over vanilla ice cream.
Yes, it's fantastic.
Black pepper. And you could even just drizzle this over a black pepper ice cream. And I've actually, when I have time and have to show off, which I do now and then, I make a gelato with the balsamic vinegar.
Oh, that sounds fantastic. And you want to bring that to our festival? That sounds fantastic.
Can you get me a great big sorbet maker?
Maybe.
If I can get a sorbet maker, I could do it. I just, you know, I have to look. I broke mine.
Oh.
I broke mine making too much of it.
Well, I'd like to talk with you about that because we're going to bring scoops over. And have you had anything from Scoops in Sonoma?
On the square there, that's the best
maybe
ice
we
cream.
Could. Maybe
it's fabulous. Wonderful.
Maybe
oh, yeah.
we could have you maybe provide a recipe because they're going to be doing an olive oil ice cream.
Connect me with them because I it's in my book.
That would be fantastic. That would be a lot of fun.
I've had a few other people make it for me to serve at events, and it's really wonderful.
Well, I have to do a plug for Scoops in Sonoma because the ice cream, you know this, Chris,
my kids love that place.
Incredible.
Yeah.
It's homemade, and they're going to be at our festival providing olive oil ice cream. And if you had a vinegar recipe, I think it would be a fantastic
partnership.
About
as local as you can get.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that this week.
Excellent.
Because I'm happy to send
that
them
would
a
be
book.
A lot of fun. Yeah. That would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, they give me credit. We're good.
Good.
Okay. So now let's go back to it. Let's taste another wine.
Now this calls for, let's open our, this is our, and I'm getting this open, our Anthem Meritage. Wait a second. There we are. Now this is and I'm going to ask you to give that.
All right.
Now in order to call,
not too much.
In order to call it a Meritage, you have to do two things. Number one, you have to pay $500 a year to the Meritage Society.
Really?
Yes.
That I didn't know.
And the wine has to include at least two of the five Bordeaux red varietals we talked about a few minutes ago. This has several, but this particular wine is 89%. This is our 2013 Anthem Meritage. It's been our Meritage. We started doing this in 1999, and it is 89% Cabernet Sauvignon. If I want to call a wine a Cabernet Sauvignon, or a Merlot for that matter, or a Chardonnay, at least 75% of the grapes have to come from that varietal, have to be Cab or Merlot or what have you. Even though this is 89%, it's officially a Cab, we refer to it as a Meritage because we think the way it's been blended and the varietals that go into it, it's got 10% Merlot on top of that Cab, so that takes us to 99%. And then that 1%, poof, just a little hint of Petit Verdot, which we think adds some wonderful nuances. Mm-hmm. So this is the Anthem Meritage. It's some people call it our flagship wine. It's only available at the winery on Pythian Road, right there as Santa Rosa meets Kenwood, the St. Francis Anthem Meritage. Again, 2013, we had such good fruit come in. Let's take a look at the color.
Again, very, very deep.
Isn't it, though? It's just
even
got an
intensity.
Even a little
deeper than that, than the
I agree.
Garnets.
I agree. And how about on the nose? It doesn't pop on
it
the nose quite like the Lago Marsino Cabernet Sauvignon. But let's take a taste, because sometimes what we smell is not identical to what we taste.
Delicious. Is this another 95 points?
93.
Wow.
But we'll take it.
I'm really impressed.
I wasn't going to say thank you.
I'm really
We're having
impressed.
This great run right now. And
fantastic.
These scores are great free advertising because we don't have an advertising budget. We're proud of the fact that we're certified sustainable. We're proud of the fact that we're focused on farming and on the land. We put our money there. We don't put it in advertising. So when you get these scores, all of a sudden people are talking about it. So we'll take them. But thank you.
Delicious.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, it's really beautiful. I notice lots of licorice root. Mm-hmm. In this, lots of licorice root, lots of new black leather, some a little bit of cool topsoil.
Yes.
And just a little bit of that bramble
right
on the start of the finish.
And the structure, the reason probably it's not a fruit bomb is that 10% Merlot that you were talking about a few minutes ago gives it that structure and that backbone, nicely integrated, we hope. But and then that that little bit of Petit Verdot gives it a... just a little bit of some dark fruit there as
well. Yes, it really sort of brings it down. So, and there's some, on the finish again, if you wait long enough, there's some chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
Not milk chocolate this time.
Let me taste again.
Closer. Well, you have to then wait. Don't have any water or anything else. And you'll notice after you've swallowed and all those flavors are unfolding, there comes some bittersweet chocolate.
Mm-hmm. On the back.
Which to what you said earlier, mouthfeel on a wine is so important. We've spent so much time on mouthfeel because if it's chalky or grippy, you're not going to be able to appreciate the finish and those nuances that end well as you're tasting the wine. So we're excited about this.
Mm-hmm. What is the alcohol?
The alcohol, I think it's 25. Let me double check. No.
It feels like 25.
That's the lightest port I've ever tasted.
It is 15.3.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't have that characteristic heat.
We're not
sometimes get after a four. Yeah, it's very balanced.
And as people know, higher sugar levels when we pick the fruit nice and ripe, whether it's 24 degrees Brix, 25 degrees Brix, convert higher alcohol or higher sugar levels convert in fermentation to higher alcohol levels. We try to avoid de-alcoholizing the wine or spinning it or mm-hmm. doing things like that because we think Mother Nature intended something different every year, mm-hmm. and we want to honor that and we want to appreciate that. That's why we're in wine and not toothpaste. Every year is different.
Every year is
different.
And we
want to celebrate that while celebrate the vintage by vintage variations that make wine unique. Of course, we want to have stylistic consistency, but every year is different. That's what makes it so
true.
Exciting.
Absolutely. Going back to Bjarkon with the Cabernet vinegar, can you talk a little bit about how a varietal vinegar is made?
How a varietal vinegar is made? Well,
that's a loaded question.
Yeah, that's a loaded question. Instead of turning it into wine, you expose it to oxygen. You let it turn into vinegar. You have to do this in a separate facility.
Okay. So you take the pressed Cabernet juice.
Yes.
And you introduce the Acetobacter is the bacteria. I guess one of the things I was curious about was, does it go through its primary alcoholic fermentation and then its secondary fermentation, or do you just go straight to the acetobacter fermentation?
It does go through a primary and secondary fermentation, and then it becomes vinegar.
Yeah.
And, you know,
good answer.
To be honest with you, it's not what you want to have happen in your wine.
No,
cellar,
no,
right?
No, definitely
no,
so you can't do it.
Right.
So in our case, it's very deliberate. It's in a separate facility. But if you make a mistake in your wine cellar, it can happen, and it can turn your entire cellar, so you have to be careful.
Yeah, because acetobacters are in the environment.
Yes.
It's there. You know, it's just there. So, yeah. And I know, I think it was in Italy, there was a facility making flavored vinegars just down from Castello di Volpaia.
Mm.
They're east of Siena, and I visited both places.
Oh. I've been to Volpa. Yeah.
And it was
fantastic.
The place for vinegar was surprisingly close as the crow flies to the facility for the vinegar.
Yeah.
It was, you know, a kilometer maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it really wasn't very far. It was down the hill.
Mm-hmm.
But it was an old stone building. But I just thought, you know, they're going to be sending a lot of little acetobacters up into the atmosphere.
Interesting.
Yeah, so, you do have to be careful.
Yeah. And then in Orléans, France, in the Loire Valley, which was the home of vinegar for a long time. And it would happen just because of the hot summers.
Yes.
Some of the wine would end up as vinegar, and that's how they developed the Orléans method. So, see, it's one of my favorite subjects. I can be
you know a lot about vinegar.
Okay,
well, we do set aside.
I do.
Essentially, the way it works with us is that we set aside declassified wine for the vinegar program,
and that's
how we produce it.
Uh-huh. And I find your Cabernet vinegar really retains some varietal character.
Well, we hope so. I mean, that is what we're striving for in each of the wine vinegars.
And particularly
very distinct.
The mouthfeel and just that. The way it fills your mouth, the richness, it's just there. And I remember when I was writing my book, Oil and Vinegar, the first edition, and I talked to Daryl Cordy. And Yes, and Daryl said the only vinegar that retained any varietal character was Pinot Noir. Hmm. And that we have much different vinegars than we have than we had then. That was
in
1991.
Sure.
And
I think back to the simple red wine vinegars you can find on the shelf everywhere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so what would you put on a Caprese salad, for example, if you're going to do some mozzarella and tomatoes and which of those would you fig?
Yeah, a lot of people are putting balsamic vinegar on Caprese salad.
Yeah, I'm seeing that more and more.
I don't like that bit of sweetness. I have used it
because it overpowers the tomatoes.
It overpowers everything.
Uh-huh.
I don't want sweetness off the on my palate with something savory. I just find it dominates.
Mm-hmm.
I'll use a really really good, the best Tuscan style, a boldly flavored green olive oil. And if the tomatoes are particularly acidic, which you really find earlier in the season,
mm-hmm.
I won't put an acid. I won't put vinegar.
You'll just do the oil and some salt.
I'll just do the oil, salt, pepper. And then as the year progresses, I mean, sometimes I'll do O, the brand O.
Yes.
I love their Zinfandel vinegar. I just think that's lovely. So sometimes I'll do, there's Zinfandel vinegar. There's a white vinegar from the south of France that I really love, Vinaigre de Bagnole. If you were to think of one that might be a little bit similar, it might be Spain's sherry vinegars. Hmm. It's very, and it's not white. It's more of a copper color.
You know we're with the foodie when she's talking about a white vinegar from the south of France.
Well, we have a white balsamic vinegar, actually.
Yeah, well, this one isn't sweet, but it's a very sophisticated, subtle, aged white vinegar. Really beautiful, and it got quite popular. Traversas was carrying it. It's now, you see it up at
Shad.
Me too. You see it at Shad.
Yeah.
And Doralice was carrying it for a while at the cheese shop there, and you can buy it online. So I just, you know, I probably have 30 vinegars in my house
really?
At any time.
Now, how long do they keep? How long will vinegar keep?
It depends.
Long time, though, right?
Most will, but some will go off. I mean, if they're lower, if you have one that's 4.5 or 5% acidity, that one's not going to last as long. But they start throwing off sediment.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And, yeah, they just start. I learned the hard way, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, really? 17 years? So every now and then I go through. But, you know, I mean, I probably had 50 vinegars when I was revising the oil and vinegar book because I really wanted to try the ones that weren't around.
Well, we're honored you have our Cabernet.
Oh, I don't have any right now. I need to buy some.
We'll have to rectify that one at the festival.
Yes. Yeah, it is one of my all-time favorite vinegars. It's just lovely. So now we're having another wine. And then we're going to have some sweet. We're going to talk about these sweet things.
Let me just get this open. We are about to taste my favorite wine on the planet.
Oh.
And that is our St. Francis Olvine Zinfandel. Mm. And this is, you know, it's been said that to make wine in Sonoma is to stand in the presence of the past. And nowhere do you stand in the presence of the past more than with these vines, some of which are over 110, 120 years old. Almost entirely dry farmed. No drip, no sprinkler, no irrigation. Remember, in the late 1800s, Sonoma County, by the way, I'm a fifth generation native of Petaluma. My grandparents and great grandparents were dairy farmers. And I grew up here. My grandfather was born in a farmhouse in the Sonoma Mountains in 1911. I remember hearing about farming and grapes when he was a kid. Grapes were an afterthought. We were, as you know, Sonoma County was the egg basket and the dairy capital of the Western United States. We were all about chickens and eggs and cows and milk.
And butter.
And butter, yeah. Butter and egg parade in Petaluma.
Exactly.
My grandmother in Petaluma is 102 years old, and she was a slick chick in the 1930s. And they were the cute girls. They would dress them up in chicken suits, and they would go down Petaluma at the parade because they want to get all the young farmers to come to the parade so they get all the cute girls in chicken outfits.
When are you going to bring your grandmother into the
fall? Oh, because you need 3 hours for that. But Alba Zucchetti Silva, she's terrific. I just saw her 2 days ago. At any rate, so Zinfandel, grapes were, other than a few producers, grapes were an afterthought. But a handful of Italian and Swiss-Italian immigrants primarily would plant these vines, and they'd usually plunk rootstock into the ground, hammer a wooden stake around it, tie it with a piece of twine, and then go tend to the cows and chickens. And that's why they're head-trained, no wiring, no trellising, they're dry-farmed. So, and I think Zinfandel is a perfect Thanksgiving wine. We've gotten a lot of attention on this. It's readily available. This is our wine that's distributed all over. The St. Francis Olvine's in appearance. How would you describe the color, ladies? I get more purple than I do on the other two.
Really? I'm just getting really, really deep garnet again.
Yeah. I was going to say ruby. We're all on a different spectrum here.
You know, I just started looking at rubies for a while because I use that a lot, and they tend to be, excuse me, they tend to be lighter.
Right.
Garnets are the one that have the really deeper
intensity to it. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, then there's Garnet Mims and the Enchanters, and if I had my 45, we'd slap that on right
That'd
now.
That'd be real nice. Now, take a whiff on the nose. We were just talking about my grandmother. When I was a kid, she used to do canning every year, and she would do raspberry or blackberry jam. And when I would put my nose in the jar, this reminds me of that. Yeah. I get that raspberries and blackberry. And then, of course, on the palate, let's...
It's a very beautiful Zinfandel. I've already cheated. I've already tasted it.
Thank you. Oh, I get blackberry. I get berry. Luscious, definitely fruit-driven. I call Zinfandel the perfect Thanksgiving wine. It goes with everything on the holiday table. Candied yams, stuffing, difficult relatives, cranberry sauce, just about everything.
Turkey.
Turkey and pumpkin pie. And it's just, this is the wine we always, the St. Francis Old Vine Zin, always have it on the holiday table. Mm-hmm. It's not our most expensive wine.
What's it cost?
You can get it for less than $20 just about everywhere. Mm-hmm. But this is my favorite. I just love Zinfandel. I think it's because not only the flavors and the nuances and that it goes with so many foods, but the story, how it so goes to the history of winemaking in Sonoma. I think it's our own indigenous wine here in Sonoma County.
Absolutely. Yeah. No question about that. This is really lovely. Absolutely beautiful. Beautiful texture. None of that chalky, none of that roughness. It's a very lovely wine.
When I was a little boy, my grandfather said here, and he had a big cask, of, like a basket, and a big jug, like probably a 3-gallon jug, and he poured it into a little square glass, and I was 4 years old, and he said, take a taste of this, it's good for you, and it was Zinfandel. He told me later it was Zinfandel.
You know, when my grandson came home from the hospital, they were with me for several weeks, and his first night home, I opened up a bottle of one of my very favorite precious, I think it was a 1994 Gary Farrell Allen Vineyard Pinot Noir.
Oh, nice.
I took some, I put my finger in my wine glass, and I dropped some on his tongue, and I said, Pinot Noir.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
And I did this for about 9 months, because right. I wanted him to have, he has a good palate, I wanted him to have perfect pitch, and Gina took him to a party, his mom took him to a party, and she was holding him, he reached over into somebody's wine glass and put his finger right. in it.
Just tell him he was teething, that's all, yeah, go. Right? That's great. So, well, that's a Sonoma County thing we do here.
Exactly.
And it's fine, a little drop, whatever.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And, you know, maybe when he's, you know, when he gets older, he'll have that physical, I'm hoping he has that physical affinity. It won't
And you'll
really
tell him that
memory.
Story.
Oh,
and
I've
when
told
he drinks,
him.
Oh, yeah, and that'll make it, how old is he now?
He's 15.
Oh, boy.
A Robert Parker in training.
He's 15 and he lives with me.
Good for you.
He and my daughter both live with me.
That's nice.
Yeah, it's a teenage boy. Yeah. I had no experience.
My son is 19.
I had no experience.
Oh, my youngest is 17. He's my favorite.
I had two girls.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, nice. I have two girls. I didn't grow up around boys. It's different.
Nothing will prepare you for teenagers, I've learned.
Yeah,
as wonderful as they are, and every chapter has had their challenges and their wonderful riches, but nothing will prepare. And I used to tell everyone, oh, I talk to my kids, I'll be fine when they're teenagers. Like, wow.
I'll wake up and I'll walk into the living room and they're like four extremely large men in my living room. Only they're 15.
Right, yeah. Don't want to argue with them.
Okay, we gotta, you know, time flies on Mouthful.
Okay.
I want to make sure that we get basic information to people. So, St. Francis, tell us again exactly where it is.
We're at Highway 12 and Pythian Road. We're at 100 Pythian Road at Highway 12, right where the second, right across the road from the second Oakmont entrance when you're heading from Santa Rosa to Sonoma. Having a great run. We just got named for the second time number one restaurant in America by Open Table. And we're not even a restaurant.
Right. I got to get out there for that tasting.
I think we need to get out there as
well. Our daily wine and food pairing at 11 a.m., 1 p.m., and 3 p.m. Community table, 16 people overlooking the vineyard. We're having our Zinfandel sale and Harvest Bar barbecue that we do every year on October 22nd on Saturday. It's a lot of fun. We're going to open all these Zinfandels early so our people there can take a taste of it. You can find us on Facebook, on Twitter, and at stfranciswinery.com. And I'm so proud of our team, and I'm especially proud of the fact that last month, for the sixth year in a row, St. Francis Winery was named one of the best places to work in all of Northern California.
Congratulations.
So we have this
that
terrific
is great.
Team. We're making wines we've always dreamed of with a team we've always dreamed
of. That's really great. Congratulations
on
all counts. And you can always listen to a rebroadcast of any of Mouthful shows at michelleannajordan.com. You just go to audio, and as soon as there is a new episode up, it will be there, and you can just click. You don't have to go to it. You just listen right there. And now, BR Cone, and you're open 7 days a week.
We are open 7 days a week.
10:30 to 4:30?
10 to 5.
Oh, 10 to 5.
Yeah.
Okay. And then if you're going to St. Francis, it's not very far to also go to BR Cone.
Correct.
Very close together.
Correct. We're just a few miles down the road south of St. Francis
and
Glen Ellen.
They are wonderful neighbors.
Our address is 15,000 Sonoma Highway.
Right across from the Red Barn at Oak Hill Farm.
Correct. Correct. And we hold the same hours, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. daily. Again, we're having our Sonoma Extra Virgin Festival on Saturday, November 5th and Sunday, November 6th. You can go to our website, brcone.com, or to SonomaExtraVirginFestival.com.
And you can buy
to purchase tickets.
$15 for the tickets.
$15, which includes a gift bag, a delicious glass of wine, and some bites as well. So mm-hmm. you're getting a lot for that $15.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. And then, if there's enough, there should be enough time. Don't go away, because we're going to have dessert in just a couple of minutes.
Oh, we'll save for that.
I have to do business. I have to do business. First order of business is I just want to remind you that a very special event is coming up on October 29th. There's a Facebook page. You can also go to farmtrails.org. This is Farm Trails Fall Feast. It is shaping up just to be a fabulous event. Brandon Gunther of Rocker Oyster Fellers is the chef leading everything. I'm going to be doing something for the VIP reception. Not sure exactly what I might do. Several chefs are giving toppings for Brandon's polenta, little polenta triangles. And I'm thinking that I might do my white peach chutney for that.
Oh, nice.
Not sure, but maybe. And then for the regular reception, the main reception, I'm going to be doing a turkey picadillo using the heirloom turkey that will be part of the event. I think 14 are going to be auctioned off at the event. There will be dancing to cahoots. It's a great family style meal.
What's a turkey picadillo? I'm sorry.
Picadillo is in that same family of larb, say larb from Southeast Asia. It's basically ground meat, some vegetables, and some seasonings. And even the American Sloppy Joe is under that sort of same umbrella.
Yeah.
Sloppy Joe's sweet, so you can imagine how I feel about it. But my turkey picadillo, I make goat, lamb, beef, and pork picadillo, so there's no reason I can't make turkey. And I'll have some winter squash in it, some olives, you know, olive harvest. I'll have some green olives in it. Hmm. Some little cubes of squash.
Oh, that sounds good.
Some red wine. It'll be finished in red wine, turkey stock.
And you serve it on what?
I'm going to serve it, sort of in Thai style. I'll serve it in fresh cabbage leaves.
Oh, okay. So that you sounds get this delicious. Nice,
like if you go, you know, Thai restaurants, how you get that and you wrap it in maybe a lettuce leaf.
Right.
I'm going to be doing, because, you know, we've got great cabbage right now from local farmers, and almost everything, pretty much everything that will be part of the feast will be from members of Farm Trails. So we'll be passing it around in little sort of cabbage cups. And there'll be other appetizers and then a big feast. And we don't know yet, because nature bats last, exactly what will be on the menu.
My son and I were at the Sebastopol Farmers Market 2 weeks ago, and half the people there knew you. I just want you to know.
I feel bad. I haven't been there in 2 weeks because I've been sick. And you know,
what
I go and
a,
I spend.
A thing. Isn't it neat? They
I love that.
So much wonderful.
That's my weekly.
Oh, what a treat! That's
what I do every
on Sunday, right?
Yeah, that's what I do every Sunday. I love it. So yeah, that's my home market. Anyway, so yeah, check out Fall Feast. Get your tickets before they're gone. Just 150 total. It's going to be some really fun auction packages. We did a photo shoot for one of our auction packages. I stood there on the porch of the Potter Schoolhouse holding a beautiful platter with a fake dead bird on its back.
Oh,
because we're going to do a screening of I'm going to do a special dinner with a screening of the birds in the schoolhouse that was in the movie.
Oh, how cool.
So interesting.
It was great fun. So it's going to be a really fun event. And then we are in our membership drive. It is not going to go on for a long time. I think tonight might be the last night. If you love Mouthful, you would make me so happy if you would go to krcb.org, click on donate, and I think that there is a note section, and you can just put, I'm doing this for Mouthful. You can just do $20 and get this special bonus pack of CDs, you know, 5 CDs, all different kinds. You can call the station during regular business hours and choose it. You can get a copy of my book, Vinaigrettes and Other Dressings, the delightful Something from the Oven by Laura Shapiro, Deary, The Remarkable Life of Julia Child by Bob Spitz. There's even some other books. There's a couple of really big books on desserts, one from Alice Medrick when she was here last, a couple of others. So there's all kinds of things. We don't have a staff in the house on Sunday evening, so you can't actually call and get all this done now. You have to go online. But if you are more comfortable doing something by phone, you can do that tomorrow. Call tomorrow and don't forget to say, hey, I'm doing this for Mouthful. I loved the show last night. I want to support Mouthful. So krcb.org. If you get confused all this, remember you can always send me an email asking any questions. It's michelle@michelleannajordan.com. You ask me questions not just about how to donate, but the name of that guest, I forgot. Where do I get that wonderful vinegar? Anything at all. And now we've got, I think we have 2 minutes left, 3 minutes left, Anthony? I think we got 2 minutes left. We have 2 minutes left. Always got to leave. And I want to say welcome, Anthony, our brand new engineer, flying solo tonight for the first time. And when I was here 2 weeks ago, and it was dear Mike Young's last night, we were just so busy that I forgot to say thank you for his wonderful nearly 4 years of volunteer work. Oh. And in 2 weeks, Mouthful will be old enough to drink. I'll be selling my celebrating our 21st anniversary.
Congratulations.
I'll volunteer. If I can volunteer for 21 years, you can pony up a little bit of cash to support the show. Real quickly, what are we tasting dessert-wise? This looks like caramel.
This is caramel Chardonnay sauce that we partner with Annette's in downtown Napa to make a couple of different dessert sauce for
it. Oh, that is crazy good.
Yes.
Nobody walks out of here without it.
And we send them Chardonnay wine that, again, is declassified in our program, and they create this sauce for us. We've been doing this for a number of years.
That's so delicious. It's good by itself. What would you put that on?
Nothing.
Skin.
Very good.
In the gourmet shop that we have, people dip. They dip pretzels in it, but it's probably very good on vanilla ice cream.
French vanilla ice cream, black pepper ice cream, dulce de leche ice cream.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's the kind of thing that calls to you at 3
Although
in the morning.
The salt on the pretzels is really delicious.
Yes.
And then they make for us a chocolate raspberry Cabernet fudge.
Oh, that's delicious.
And this will be the last thing we do.
Yes. Mm. So, also, in this case, we're delivering declassified wine, and they're creating this for us, and we've been partnered with them for a number of years.
And on that note,
that's delicious.
Chris Silva of St. Francis.
Thank Winner. You.
Thank
nice
you,
seeing
darling.
You again.
Nice to see you.
Deborah, nice seeing you as well.
Nice
Deborah
to see
Eagle.
You, Chris. Deborah
Eagle, B.R. Cohn Winery and B.R. Cohn Olive Oil Company. And thanks to you
that's
for
delicious.
Tuning in. Meet me back here next week for another yummy episode of Mouthful. Smart talk about food, wine, and farming. Lark says it's time to go home.
Thank you, Michelle.
So good. Quarter Portuguese. They're buying up for family farms, selling up.